50 years ago, two outcast groups met in a remote corner of New Mexico to make a movie. Mexican-American zinc miners teamed up with blacklisted Hollywood movie makers to produce Salt of the Earth. Before it was finished, it was being denounced in Congress as communist propaganda undermining the Korean War effort. Many now see the movie as a landmark, both because of the censorship effort mounted against it and the issues it raised about equality in the United States. Some of the people depicted in the movie are gathering with scholars and activists this coming weekend in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Pat Dowell reports.
In 1947, the Hollywood studios began blacklisting anyone who did not cooperate with the anti-communist investigations by the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Director Herbert Biberman refused to testify about his political beliefs and spent 6 months in jail in 1950. What he did afterwards was unique, says conference speaker Victor Navasky, publisher of The Nation.
There were hundreds of people who were blacklisted, and it never occurred to most of them to go out and make independent films. It was not, you know, there was no independent film movement as such.
The film dramatized the story of a strike. The production got help from the miners, but hostility from the authorities and the occasional stray bullet from local vigilantes. Half a century later, when the College of Santa Fe announced a conference about the film, reactions were still quite varied, says conference co-chair Jonathan Wax.
Regardless, there is a sense that it is important to have the conversation. And whether it's the broader issue of freedom of expression or whether it's more specific issues relating to New Mexico or the Southwest and labor history in the Southwest, or just the history of the Hollywood blacklist and whether that could happen again, I think all of those issues people recognize have become current again.
So there will be panels on labor history, political filmmaking, women's economic struggles, and freedom of speech. Salt of the Earth touches all these bases quite explicitly. Indeed, this 50s movie was way ahead of its time, particularly when the story of the strike bubbles up into the matter of sexual politics within the union. As in real life, the courts in the movie order the miners off the picket line. But a woman at a union meeting points out that the order doesn't mention the wives, who could take over the picket line.
Don't laugh. We have a solution, you have none. Brother Quintero was right when he said we'll lose 50 years of gains. He will lose this strike. Your wife and children, too. But this we promise. If women take your places on the picket line, the strike will not be broken, and no scabs will take your jobs.
The people acting in that scene were the ones who lived it, including Lorenzo Torres, a miner who recalls how writer Michael Wilson discussed every aspect of his screenplay with the union members.
The script was rewritten about 16 times. The purpose of that was to erase any stereotypes and to make it real, express our experiences.
The union hoped the movie would draw attention to its ongoing struggle with the mine owners. Lorenzo's wife, Anita Torres, says the movie made the most difference at home.
I think it opened the eyes to a lot of us, and of course the women, you know. It showed us a lot of things that actually we were not aware of or had even thought of. Once the strike started and then the making of the film, I think it was educational for all of us and to show us that we need unity among all people, not just families, but all peoples, you know, and that a lot of things can be done if we unite.
However, most theater owners were afraid to show Salt of the Earth. The Projectionists Union was led by the hardline anti-communist Roy Brewer, who ordered his members not to show it. But in Europe, the film played for months and won prizes, recalls blacklisted screenwriter Norma Barsman, who was living in Paris then.
The French just loved that film.
And not just the French. Barsman says she was in Algiers several years later when Salt of the Earth was scheduled to be shown in segregated screenings, on the first night for men, on the second night for women.
Well, what happened was the women of Algiers heard what the picture was about. They dressed themselves like men, and they crammed into the stands that first night so that it was full and the men couldn't get in, and they saw the film, and they loved the film, and they were excited, and they realized what it did for women, and they hurrahed and they cheered, and it was a very, very wonderful thing. And then, of course, the men saw it the next night. They were furious.
This weekend, Barsman will be at the conference talking about her experience of the blacklist. Back then, she says, the first sign of political intimidation she noticed was police surveillance. And now, she says, she shivers to think these are the very powers being expanded to fight terrorism today. Whether 2003 could ever really be like 1953 is something that will be argued this weekend, says conference co-chair Jonathan Wax.
One of the great and interesting things about this democracy is how it moves between these poles of anxiety and freedom. And I think we're in a stage now where we really have to be sure that we don't get trapped in this paranoid phase and at the same time not surrender to forces that are really dangerous.
Wax says he hopes the Salt of the Earth Conference will at least bring some awareness of these issues. It continues at the College of Santa Fe through Saturday. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.